He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
Today is the first Sunday of Christmas. It's the seventh day of Christmas, but it's also a few other days. You know, out there, it's also New Year's Eve. You know, in the church calendar, we celebrated the New Year at Advent. But for most of the world, the New Year comes on January 1st. And so, along with it being Christmas, it's also New Year's. And along with that, in the liturgical calendar, where it has a feast or a remembrance every day, it's also the Feast of the Holy Family. That is, it's the day that the church remembers Mary and Joseph and the fact that God came and was a part of a family here on earth, and that Jesus was fully human and that he had a family, and that, like all the rest of us, sometimes things were good in the family and sometimes things were bad. I often think of how Mary must have felt when Jesus was left at the temple for 3 days, and how do you, as the mother of God, discipline God? Like, how? I just wonder what went through their head. I wonder if Joseph ever got frustrated at Jesus when doing carpentry work and for breaking the hammer or something like that. So those are three of the days that are all being celebrated today. And so today we'll kind of focus on two of them. We'll focus on the fact that it's still Christmas, and we'll also focus on the fact that Jesus had a family and kind of what that means. And thank you to those that read. It makes it a lot easier for me because you guys do better than me. It just makes it easier for me to get up here. And so our gospel passage today comes from the beginning of John, the prologue that he wrote to his gospel, John 1:1-18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, but of the will of man, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of our Lord. That's probably one of the most poetic and beautiful chapters in all the Bible. It's really fun to translate in Greek because you just hit the same words over and over again and you're trying to make sense of them. But it's this really beautiful idea. Unlike the other Gospels, Mark, who doesn't even give us a birth narrative, he just jumps straight to John the Baptist, you know, pronouncing, "Here's the Lamb of God." And Matthew and Luke, that tells us this intricate story of Jesus' birth, John does something a little different. Instead, John takes us back way to the beginning. Those first words, "in the beginning," are meant to remind us of Genesis. That even before the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And that's just something really, really hard to think about sometimes, that the Word became flesh. We're able to understand that God was God, but then that God came and dwelt among us. Last year on Christmas, this was the gospel text for Christmas Day, which happened to fall on a Sunday last year. And so when I was thinking about it, I was like, do I really want to preach this text again? But I figured it was a year ago. Most of you probably won't remember what I said then. If it's okay, I don't remember everything I said a year ago either. But as I looked back, I decided to take it a slightly different way. Last year, I talked about how with part of God coming and becoming flesh, it meant that God really got into the mess of things, which we'll kind of talk about today. But last year, I remember looking over at the manger scene and reminding us that when God became human, he really came into the grossest parts of humanity. You know, my family has a farm in Pennsylvania, and so I've been around cows and what they smell like. And that's where Christ came. That's where we first see the Christ child, is in the smelly, messy manger of life. But so there, while I talked about where God came to, I think today I want to talk about, what is God really like? That's a question I often hear from people, especially when they find out I'm a pastor. They ask me, well, what is God like? Or I'll ask them, what do you think God is like? And especially to my atheist friends, I enjoy asking that question, because they'll tell me about this God that they don't believe in. And I often respond, yeah, I don't believe in that God either. They talk of an angry God and almost like this Zeus-like God. And I'm like, no, like that's not what God is like. And so today we'll talk a little bit about what the God I believe in is like. And so we'll start off with a quote from St. Athanasius. He was one of the early church fathers. And he said this, "The Lord did not come to make a display. He came to heal and to teach suffering men. For one who wanted to make a display, the thing would have been just to appear and dazzle the beholders. But for him who came to heal and teach the ways was not merely to dwell here, but to put himself at the disposal of those who needed him, and to be manifested according as they could bear it. Not vitiating the value of the divine, appearing by exceeding their capacity to receive it." I think that's what it means when it says the Word became flesh. God, when God came, didn't just appear and dazzle. I think of the scene in Hercules when Hercules becomes, where he goes from being a demigod to being a full god for giving his life for Meg, and how he becomes gold and shimmering and shiny. That God could have came like that had God wanted to. He could have just appeared and bedazzled and wowed, and everybody would have been like, oh, this is God. But instead, God took on flesh. And all that meant, from being conceived in a woman's womb, to experiencing birth, to experiencing the terrible twos of being a toddler, that he came and became like us. He became flesh. He became blood. And that God came not to show off. I think of, again, I often think at times when I read through the Bible and through passages, what it would be like if I was God and God didn't come to show off. I think if I was God, I probably would want to show off that I was God. But again, that's probably why I'm not God. I would not know what to do with it properly. But God came rather to show us what true love is like, to show us what truly matters, and to show us what God is actually like. And that raises the question that we've been asking, what is God like? Well, as I was mentioning earlier, when I've talked to some of my friends that are atheists or agnostics, they talk about this God that's pictured like Zeus, this big, muscular, old man in the sky who's really tough. You know, he doesn't take any smack talk from anybody. He's out there hurling lightning bolts like it's nobody's business. You know, almost like that scene in Bruce Almighty, where Bruce is like, "Smite me, Almighty Smiter." You know, they talk about a God like that. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the God that is the sovereign ruler of all the universe. I don't know if he's this tough, warlike God of war and a God like Zeus. Because we've often pictured God almost as being strong and powerful, like the strong and powerful of this world. We've often, even when we say a person has godlike status, it means they're big and well known, and they're on top of it. They're the ones that everybody is looking to. But then, with the true sovereign Lord of all creation, we see a dirty little manger scene. In the incarnation, in the coming of the Word of God as he becomes flesh, we see this small, infant, helpless child born in a stinky barn surrounded by stinky animals. And we see that that's what God is truly like. That instead of coming and bedazzling and showing off and being full of pizzazz, he comes into the chaos of life. He comes into where life stinks. We find that that is where God is, and that's where God is dwelling. Eugene Peterson in The Message says that God moved into the neighborhood. Well, that's the neighborhood that he's moving into. It's not the big, fancy neighborhoods of Beverly Hills. It's the dirty, stinky, broken-down neighborhoods where the light of Christ is so desperately needed. One of my favorite authors and a pastor that I look up to is Brian Zond. He's the pastor of Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. One of the quotes that he says, and says it often, is this: God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus. There has never been a time when God was not like Jesus, but there have been times where we have not always known this. And so when I hear my friends talk about this God that they don't believe in, it almost never looks like Jesus. And I'm like, of course that God doesn't exist, but the God that is real, if you look at Jesus, that's what he looks like. And so, as Brian Zond and scholar N.T. Wright often says as well, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. So again, we ask, what is this all-powerful and almighty God like? Well, it's simple. He's the one that came to us and he humbled himself. He humbled himself even to death on a cross, the most humiliating form of torture and death there was in the Roman times. And he did that so that we might see the full love of Christ that says that grace, peace, mercy, goodness, hope, and love wins, even when it would seem that the darkness is winning. I often think of how joyous it is for us to celebrate Christmas, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere, in December, right after the winter solstice, right after the darkest day of the year, we celebrate the birth of light. Light coming into the world. Light overcoming the darkness. As John's Gospel reminds us, the darkness could not overcome the light. It's the Almighty One, God, the one that comes in ways that we least expect it. Again, we would think of God coming in a chariot and in splendor and pizzazz. We would expect some style and some flair. But that's not what God is like. Instead, God tends to do things in ways that we would never expect and in places we would never expect. God came as a small, helpless baby boy. He depended on Mary and he depended on Joseph. He needed them to love and to care for him, which is something to think about, that God needed somebody to love him and care for him. That is how much God has cared about us, that he was willing to put himself in our position. There's an author, Thomas Keating, in one of his books, Manifesting God. I can't tell you what most of the book is about. I've forgotten most of it as I read it a few years ago. But there was one quote that has stuck with me. And it's this idea of that God is often found in the least likely of places. God is often found in the places where you don't want to find him. As I think about families, I think about the issues that comes with them. I love my family and I have a great family, but to say that we have never had our issues would be a bold-faced lie. I can't tell you how many times that my parents have face-palmed, just at something I've said or done, or something one of my siblings have done. We have caused trouble. We have got into mischief. We fought with one another. And that's what families are, but they're also a deep place of care and compassion. As a kid, I would always laugh when I would think about it, and I still laugh about it today. My older brother and I, Jared, we would fight all the time. And now we don't. Now that we're adults, we tend to be pretty cool with each other. But as kids and teenagers, we would fight all the time, and sometimes they would get into pretty big fights. But I would remember him saying, if anybody was, if anybody was picking on me or if anybody was messing with me, yeah, he and I can fight, but nobody else can mess with him. And I think of all the mess that comes with family, but also the deep care that comes with family. And that Jesus put himself in the middle of a family. That God came and joined in with our way of life. And so as I think about that, as I think about Jesus coming and being a part of a family with the stresses that come with that and all the humanity that comes with being a part of a family, it reminds me of a few things. The first thing it reminds us of, again, that I've mentioned a few times now, is God often comes where we least expect God to come. This is good news for the chaos of our lives. That God is often found right there with us, even if we don't expect it. One of our general superintendents, Carla Sundberg, at a PALCON event, a pastor and leadership conference, she was giving a sermon one day, and she was talking about one of her times, her and her husband were missionaries to the former Soviet Union. She had talked about one day that they had been with a group of people, and they came across this just like mangy old barn. It was falling apart. It was nothing to look at on the outside. Dirty wood in the middle of the country. And they would expect nothing of it. But as they went inside, they discovered that it was actually a church. That from the very bottom of the floors to the top of the ceilings, it was painted with beautiful beautiful paintings of icons and mosaics, and was filled with gold leaf and gold, and it was just this breathtaking image she described. But how nobody would have ever expected it unless you went in and experienced it. God was found in the least likely of places. God is found in the chaos. It also reminds me that with God, it's a two-way relationship. God cares so much for us that God would humble God's self and let God be cared for by us. God invites us deeply into his life, and God invites us to be a part of who God is, to be a part of his life, which I think is something that it's not just that God loves us, but that God wants to also be loved by us, that God values and cherishes us that much. And it also reminds me that God calls us to be part of a family, to be cared for by God like family, and to care for God like God is our family. This really interesting idea of God being known. And not only God being known, but God wanting to be known by us. This sovereign God over all the cosmos, which expands light years and light years and light years, wants us to know him and wants us to care for him. And I think that's just something to wrestle with and to be amazed at. And in closing, I'll end with another quote by St. Athanasius, which has been popular for centuries and centuries. Many have said it. God became like us so that we might become like God. God became one of us so that we could join God fully one day. Would you pray with me this morning? Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of the angels, may his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. God, would you help us to always remember just how deeply you care for us. God, that you in your incarnation became like us because you love us so much that you want us to truly know what you are like, to truly know grace and mercy, compassion, love, and justice. God, through your incarnation, we know what you look like. Would you help us to look more like your Son? Would you help us to be little mirrors of Christ in this world? God, as we as Christians, as those that follow your Son Christ, would you help us to be found in the midst of chaos, giving peace and comfort, extending your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.